Guten Tag, buenvenidos, happy new year, hava nagila. Welcome to Park Street. Bonjour. It's a new year, and we are grateful that you are ringing in 2025 with this faith community. We are still in the season of Christmastide, so that's true. It's the 12th day of Christmas, and don't get any drums out or anything. What's on the 12th day? We were talking about this. Drummers? I don't know. Anyways, tomorrow is the biggest, fattest Monday of the year. So pray for that. It just feels like everything is over and we got to start slogging through January, but the Lord is good in the midst of all of it. Reminder and begging for your continued patience as we demolish the old sanctuary. There has been some requirements for you to maybe go through different doors or park in different parking lots, and we appreciate your patience and all of that. Also, just a quick reminder that we changed our streaming, and we're not going to be on Facebook anymore, but we're on YouTube and we're on our website, so that's all true. Okay, so normally the first Sunday of the year, we kind of have like a little bit of, I call a State of the Union sermon, in which I kind of want to review where we've been and kind of talk about where we're going. So as a reminder, what we did in 2024, we had several sermon series. We've been really enjoying this rhythm of following the Christian calendar, even though we're not locked into the lectionary texts of each Sunday. So last year, we started with a State of the Union sermon called At Your Service. During the season of Epiphany, we went through a sermon series called Habits of the Heart. We really explored the Psalms. So I'm grateful that George is continuing that in the new year of reading Psalms and studying that. Through the Lenten season, we went through a sermon series called Beauty Will Save the World. That's a Dostoevsky quote, and Dostoevsky, whatever, multilingual this morning. In the Eastertide season, we went through a sermon series called Yes and Amen. It was exploring all the messianic prophecies in the book of Isaiah. In the beginning of Ordinary Time, we went through a sermon series on the book of Titus. We then followed that up with another sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. We had a lot of wonderful guest preachers that week while I was teaching a Sunday morning class on 1 Corinthians. Then we went through a big sermon series on the book of Jeremiah, and then we finished up the calendar year with Advent, okay? So that was 2024. I hope that the Lord met you in some of those messages and that he continues to meet you as we look into the next year. So this morning, we're going to talk about what it means to come into a new year with holy expectation. Then we're going to go into a sermon series during the season of Epiphany called God of the Valleys. Now, what we've been doing for the last several years is we've been providing what we call companion resources. So these are just books for those who want to go deeper into that topic. And during the Epiphany season, when we're going through this sermon series on God of the Valleys, the companion resource is a book written by Rebecca Reynolds called Courage, Dear Heart. That sermon series is going to be about the different valleys in Scripture. And the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of dry bones, there's different valleys that are listed in Scripture, but they all kind of represent challenges, suffering, disappointment, loss. And so we're going to talk about how God sustains us through those seasons. During the Lenten season, we're going to go through a sermon series called The New Moses. And we're really going to be looking at Matthew's gospel. Matthew makes a great effort to connect the life of Jesus with the life of Moses. He does it numerous times. And the goal, I think, that Matthew has in this linking of these two spiritual leaders is to demonstrate that just like Moses, Jesus leads his people out of sin and death and bondage, but this time forever. The companion resource for that sermon series is going to be The Wood Between Worlds by Brian Zond. Then we're going to be in Eastertide, and during Eastertide, we're going to be doing a sermon series on the book of Nehemiah, which seems like a strange text to be looking about Easter, but Nehemiah is about rebuilding something, and we're going to be talking a lot about, for those who have lost faith, it's been like cool and hip for the last 2 years to deconstruct faith, but if I know humans, and I know some of you, what happens is it's very easy for us to throw away something, thinking that there's something better out there. But outside of a meaningful community that loves you and is seeking the best for the world that we have in the church, I don't think there's something better out there. And so I'm anticipating some people might eventually, after they've deconstructed, want to come back to some sense of faith and some sense of community. And so I think actually the book of Nehemiah provides a really powerful roadmap for that. And so we're going to be talking about what's it look like to rebuild faith after you have maybe walked away or lost it. The companion resource is Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin for that. Then we're going to go into ordinary time. We're going to be reading and studying the book of Revelation. That has been a book that many Bible studies around town have been looking at. And that's something that we have, I think, to our own detriment, allowed Revelation just to be a book that the kookiest of Christians read. And maybe the rest of us ignore. And so we're trying to reclaim that. There's a great resource with that called Revelation for the Rest of Us by Scott McKnight. Then the next sermon series is called The Song of Solomon. That will mark my, the first Sunday of that series is my 10th year anniversary of being here. And so just to make sure that you still don't want to fire me, I'm going to do a sermon series on sexuality, right? We've done individual sermons on that, but never a whole series. And it was really inspired by this incredible book that I read last year called The Sex Talk You Never Got by Sam Jolman. He does an incredible job of reframing the conversation in a way that was very refreshing to me. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll see if I'm still employed at the end of it. Then we're going to go through the book of Hebrews. That'll be our last sermon series during ordinary time. Our companion resource for that series will be Experiencing the Presence of God by A.W. Tozer. And that will finally take us into the season of Advent, where we go through a sermon series called Holding the Light, and we'll read Advent by Fleming Rutledge. Okay? So much to look forward to. You can't even wait, can you? Patience, it will come to you. For this morning, I'd like us to take a little bit of a deep dive into one passage from the book of Isaiah, one that has kind of just returned to me over the years. And as I was praying about 2025, this is just what the Lord laid on my heart. And so if you haven't declared a verse, a Bible verse that you want to center your year around, maybe this is one you could consider. If nothing else, it's something that has been deeply encouraging to me and challenging as well. And I want to share that with you this morning. That is from Isaiah 26, verse 8. One verse this morning. How long could the sermon be? It's just one verse. Let's find out together. Yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. So let's think about contextually before we start diving into the verse itself. Remember, Isaiah is one of the major prophets of the Hebrew scriptures. He's one of the major figures in the Hebrew landscape, and he is anticipating the fall of God's people in the promised land. And he's warning God's people that if they would turn away from their idolatry, if they would focus on the Lord, maybe they would be spared. But it seems like the people persist in pursuing foreign gods and pursuing unrighteousness. And so the first half of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 39, are about warning about the destruction and overthrow and exile of Jerusalem. The final chapters 40 through 66 are promises about what will happen after that. A lot of messianic promises, as we've talked about in the sermon series last year during Easter time. But Isaiah, so those first 39 chapters, there's a lot of warning, there's a lot of judgment, there's a lot of anticipation of bad things. But in the midst of all of that, chapters 25 and 26 kind of pull back and they look ahead. And so, yes, there's judgment. Yes, there's difficulty. Yes, there's exile coming. But chapters 25 and 26 pull back a little bit and they think of and they long for a new day when God's people will be restored, when God's goodness will be vindicated, and they will return to worship of Yahweh alone. And that's the context of this particular verse. It's in the midst of a song that Isaiah is describing, talking about that day when people finally do return. Now, what's important for us, and the reason I think that's relevant for this morning, is because what Isaiah is promising here is still so far away. I mean, the exile itself is still hundreds away at this point. So Isaiah is looking way down the road. And this particular verse, I think, is instructive for the way that we might position ourselves for 2025 and looking not only for what's coming up in the next few months, but what's coming up in the years and the seasons that follow the one that we're currently in. So let's just kind of break down this passage a little bit. And it starts with perhaps the best two words you could utter. Yes, Lord. Right? Say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
If there is one thing that I wish you could bring into 2025, it's the attitude and posture of, yes, Lord. Asking God to lead us and to direct us, and for our default position not to be, why don't you sell me on this, Jesus? Why don't you convince me to obey you? Why don't you explain to me all the benefits before I decide whether or not I'm going to opt into your kingdom? But for our default position to be, yes, whatever you have, whatever you want, whatever your will is, just let us know and our position will be yes. I texted a whole bunch of my friends this last week and asked them to be a part of this thing that I'm planning for my birthday. I'm turning 40 in June, and I wanted to run 1 mile with 40 of my friends, and so I'm texting all my friends, which got me super pumped up because everybody's like, let's go. And I have a dear friend from Morgan County that I love, and he's been one of my great friends since I was just in elementary school. And he said, anything you want, I'm there. He said, I would try to run all 40 miles with you if I could, but I don't think I can. And what I love about this man, there's many things, but that's always been our relationship. He's just been, whatever you need, I'm there. And half the time, what I'm up to is no good. And he could tell you stories about that in high school. And yet he's always been, yes. And I cannot tell you how much love and affection I have for this guy, because his position to me has always been like, let's do it. I'm with you. I'm in your corner. Can you imagine if God's people had such a disposition? That the Lord says, look, I know sometimes this world is dark and difficult, but my people are always willing. They're always excited. They're always open to what I have for them. I like yes, Lord, too, because depending on how you say that phrase, it could be a sign of curiosity. It could be in a posture of willingness. It could be in the posture of submission. It could be in this posture of celebrating. And I think all of those are appropriate. Saying yes to what the Lord has for us should be the thing that we start with in 2025. We tend to make all of our lists. Okay, next year, this is what I want to do. Here are my goals. Here are my plans. These are the things I want to get done. But what if you just didn't erase all those or ignore all those, but maybe simply put at the top of that whole list, the first thing I want to get done in 2025 is whatever God wants. Everything else can be second. I'll still have my professional goals. I'll still have my personal goals, whatever. But like first and foremost, we want to say yes to the Lord. And the reason this is important is I'm reminded of James 4, verse 4. And the author of James is saying, you people aren't faithful to God. And then he says this great thing. Don't you know that if you love the world, you're God's enemies? And if you decide to be a friend to the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. And I was thinking about starting 2025 with this posture of yes, Lord. Because we all know that every time you say yes, you're saying no to a number of other things, right? Every yes you've ever made in your life is no to many other things you could have been doing. So when we start with yes, Lord, we're saying no to a lot. I want to talk about in Isaiah 26, verse 8, at least three things that saying yes to God means saying no to three other things, at least. Probably many, many more, but in this verse today. Good? Are you with me? Say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Okay. Yes, Lord, and then the verse goes, walking in the ways of your laws. So I want to suggest to you that the first thing that is now a no for you, if you say yes to God in 2025, you are saying no to whining. No whining in 2025. I've made that a rule in my house. People have broken it 47 times already. We're only 4 days in. So much of our culture revolves around the ideas, if you want change, make a bunch of noise and make people uncomfortable. That's how we really get things turned around. Be loud, be obnoxious, make a scene, protest, all this stuff. That's how things actually get done in this world. But I want to suggest to you that Jesus demonstrates a radically different model. Jesus encounters moments where this is not what he desires. He can do all things, we know this, but there are times in Scripture where Jesus encounters situations where this is not what he wants. But then what does Jesus do when he encounters situations where it's not what he wants? Well, I would suggest to you that his own crucifixion is one of those situations. But he doesn't simply throw a fit. He doesn't whine about it. He does these things instead. The first thing is he cries out to his Father. So there's this sincere lament, Matthew 26, verses 36 through 39. I'm not suggesting that you ought not have emotions and that you shouldn't experience disappointment and you shouldn't grieve. I think all of those things are connected to being human. And I think it's appropriate for our hearts to go to the Lord in the midst of that. Lament is biblical, it's healthy, and it's exactly what Jesus models when he encounters things that he doesn't desire. Right? So when I say no whining, don't hear me say shut down all negative emotions. That's clearly not possible. But Jesus goes to his Father. He laments to God. He seeks God. He cries out to God. The sweat drips from him like drops of blood. He says, Father, I wish you would take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. What else does he do? Jesus depends on his friends. He asks those closest to him to pray for him in the midst of that season. Now, they don't do it. They fail. They fall asleep. And so that's probably another lesson in of itself. But Jesus goes to those closest to him. He says, I need you to pray for me right now. I'm struggling. Now, the fact that they fail to do so is their own problem. But Jesus at least models, he cries out to the Father. He depends on his friends. And he doesn't argue his position. This is one of the most curious things in the story of Jesus' passion. Is that time and time again throughout different gospel accounts, he's brought before the powers that be, and he doesn't try to convince them. He doesn't make arguments for himself. He doesn't say, well, if you just give me 5 minutes, I can change your mind about my divinity. He doesn't do any of those things. He remains silent. He doesn't engage. How many of you know sometimes there are some conversations that there is no way to win them? And so not engaging is probably the most Christ-like position. Somebody say amen. Say yes, Lord. Say something. Jesus prays for his enemies while they are actively killing him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You will certainly encounter somebody at some point in 2025 that frustrates, annoys, or even tries to do you harm in some way. Jesus tells us, shows us, demonstrates for us that we pray even for those people as well. And finally, we think of Philippians 2. Jesus surrendered his life. And I want to suggest to you this whole sequence of Jesus surrendering is the embodiment of walking in the ways of God's laws that we talk about in Isaiah 26. He's not throwing fits, he's submitting his will. He's not demanding, it's my money and I want it now. I love that commercial. He's surrendered. He still laments. He still cries out to God. He still encounters difficult things. He relies on his friends, even though they're flawed and human. He still doesn't attempt to change people's minds when he knows they're already made up about something. He prays for his enemy. He surrenders his life. Yes, Lord, means no whining in 2025. You've heard it here first. Passage goes on. Yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your law, we wait for you. We wait for you. I love the juxtaposition of this. Even as we're moving forward, we're waiting. We're trusting. So at Beboutopia on Christmas morning, the kids are not allowed to wake us up until 6:30 a.m. They did that. And even after they wake us up, I got to go downstairs and turn on the lights and get everything ready. So they're just like waiting at the bottom of the stairs, just very patient. And so I get all the Christmas tree lit up and everything, and it's Christmas morning and they're so excited. And I came to them and I said, there's one rule, only one rule this morning. And that rule is no grabbing. No grabbing. I hate grabbing. All of these presents are for you guys, right? Like, they're all yours. You're going to get to open them. But the first person who grabs, I'm going to take that present and throw it in the fire. No grabbing! They did okay with it. How many of us, knowing that God has something for us, are not patient enough to allow him to give it to us? And we rush ahead and we grab. So much of New Year's resolutions is about trying to position you and convince you that you need to grab what's yours. You this life that you want, go grab it, go get it, go get it, go take a hold of it. Don't let anyone get in between you and your desires. And it's like, okay, well, that's just not the biblical advice that we see in Isaiah 26. We can be walking forward in obedience, walking in the ways of your laws, but we're still waiting. There can be gifts promised to you, but you're still dependent on God's timing for them. Don't rush ahead of God. Don't grab. Don't demand something, even if it's been promised to you. Waiting. Walking in your ways, we're waiting for you. And the last, your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. So yes to God means no to at least three things, at least in Isaiah 26, verse 8. No to whining, 2025. No to grabbing in 2025. And perhaps most challenging of all, no lone wolfing in 2025. I encountered this old Jonathan Edwards resolution. People were sharing it because it's a new year, new resolutions. And on the surface, it seemed fine. Jonathan Edwards says this. Resolution one, I will live for God. Resolution two, if no one else does, I still will. I want to suggest to you that these are stupid. And I'm a little more than annoyed by it, but so I'm going to try to keep it in check this morning. The first reason is not only is this just thumpingly self-congratulatory in nature, but it also positions you as the hero of the story. Right? I will live for God, even if no one else will. I'll be the lone bastion of truth in a world of darkness and sin. It's like, simmer down, Leroy. I just... The other challenge in addition to the fact that it completely misunderstands the gospel. You are not the hero. You are not the faithful one. You are not the bastion of truth. You are somebody who is in desperate need of God's grace every moment of every day. And the other thing that it misses is this idea that, what are you saved for? Just to be in self-righteous isolation? Or are you not saved for a community that loves God and wants to demonstrate his compassion to the world? God saves us not for our own sake, but so that we would be connected not only to the Holy Trinity, but also servants to the world. Yes to God in 2025 means no whining, no grabbing, no lone wolfing. Every year we talk about our mission, which is that we, our community of faith, exists to empower authentic disciples to live life on mission with God. We are not a provider of religious services. Sometimes people misunderstand that. That's not what we're doing here. It's not what we're intending to do. We are not a provider of religious services. We are a community that is seeking Christ's kingdom. And we do that through seeking to know Jesus. We do that through seeking to be known to one another. That's what discipleship is all about, ultimately, is allowing other people to know you, know your brokenness, know your story, know your history, and to join with you in pursuing God. Stewardship, that next step on the pathway, is about serving Jesus, honoring him by using the gifts God has given you to bless the church. And finally, leadership is simply about making Jesus known in your workplace, in your community, in your family. We think that when we do these things as a group, somehow we are embodying this sense of we are authentic disciples who live life on mission with God. Tomorrow is the biggest, fattest Monday of the year. You all got to go back to work and to school and everything. But this Friday, the second Friday of January, did people know what that's called? It's called Quitter's Day. You know about this? This is the date that most people abandon their New Year's resolutions. The second Friday of January. Quitter's Day. And I might suggest to you the reason so many people quit so early on is because the strategies of whining and grabbing it and doing it all on your own never really work. But when you have a community that looks out for you, challenges you, encourages you to pursue God and his kingdom, there's something about that that allows us to navigate the seasons of disappointment and the situations where we don't desire to dwell them. And it's perfect this morning that we are starting the new year by receiving communion. Because communion embodies everything that Isaiah 26:8 is trying to tell us. Jesus says yes to God. He says yes. And because of that, he surrenders his life. He doesn't complain about it. He's led like a sheep to slaughter. He doesn't grab and try to do something else. In fact, when one of his disciples hauls off and cut off a Roman guard's ear, he puts it back on. He says, "We're not doing that." And he doesn't do it just for his own sake or for his own glory. We know that for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. It's for the love of his people. It's for the love of creation. It's for the restoration of all things that Christ comes and he surrenders his very life to purchase back his people from sin and death. So, maybe cool it on the resolutions and maybe position yourself in 2025 to say, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws. We wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. On the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. This morning, we're positioning ourselves to say yes to the Lord. By coming to the table, by partaking of this meal, you are in essence saying yes. Jesus is saying, take, eat, this is my body given for you, and take and drink, this is my blood which is shed for you. And by coming forward, you're saying yes. By receiving this meal, you're saying, I desire that in my life for 2025 and beyond. And we pray in Jesus' name that that yes, that decision to be open and submissive to the things of God will cause you to say no to many of the broken and selfish things that would otherwise occupy your time and your energy. Let me pray over this meal before we receive it. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning because you have demonstrated once again that you are the hero of this story. It's not through our own self-determination or our great willpower that 2025 is going to be blessed and magical. We can't manifest good things for ourselves regardless of what social media influencers would tell us. But what we can do, Lord, empowered by your Holy Spirit, is say yes to you. Yes to your invitation to come and follow, to surrender our ideas about what's best and instead pursue your kingdom first. We pray that this meal, these elements, would be blessed. And we pray that as we receive them, we would be filled up with strength and confidence in you. We pray that in 2025, our heart posture would be, yes, Lord. Pray your blessing over this time and over these people. May your kingdom come. May your name and renown be the desire of our hearts. We pray this in the saving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and God's people said, amen. When you feel led, you can come, stand, come forward, receive from the bread and the cup. We try to walk around back to our seats. And we pray that this would be you saying yes, not only to this moment of receiving from the Lord, but for this year as well. There's a station in the balcony as well. All who believe in the name and the Lord of Jesus Christ are welcome at the table of the Lord. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you. Could you put up the Isaiah 26 passage again, please? Let's read this together. Yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your law, we will wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our hearts. Let's sing the doxology together.
Praise God.
Receive this benediction this morning. May your first yes in this new year be a yes to Christ and his kingdom. And may all of everything else be added to you as well. We bless you in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen and amen. I love you very much. Go in peace.